Good mornings, I'm Chris Oakes, and coming up today for Father's Day, what does it really mean to be a good dad in today's world? A heartfelt conversation with the author of Fragments of a Decent Man. Also this morning, an urgent call for more foster care and adoptive families locally, because keeping kids safe should be everyone's priority. And from the health and medical file this morning, like all athletes, soccer players can experience many serious injuries that can keep them off the pitch. But a new treatment for ACL injuries that are common to the sport can help get them back in the game naturally and with less susceptibility to future complications. This is the Good Mornings Podcast Edition for Thursday, June 18th, 2026. I'll just mention this now, in case I forget to bring it up later. This is our final show of the week. I'm going to take a little extra time off. Tomorrow being Juneteenth, that's not really the reason why we're taking it. And Sunday, of course, is Father's Day. That's not the reason we're taking the extra time off either. It just happens that we had nothing going on this weekend. So my wife and I, we're going to get away and have a little extended time off. So no show tomorrow, last one of the week here today. So I just wanted to mention that before I forgot to later. So this is big news. THC-infused drinks are back on tap at Ohio breweries after a judge issued a two-week injunction allowing sales to resume. The ruling follows Governor DeWine's veto of part of a bill that would have allowed breweries to sell the drinks. You remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking about that. Saucy Brew Works says it is bringing back products from Indiana and preparing to make more of their own. Brewery leaders say they hope lawmakers will approve a longer-term fix soon. But for now, the THC-infused drinks are back. Just a follow-up on that injunction issued in that case. We mentioned yesterday, we were talking about the state capital budget that was approved this week. Was that yesterday we were talking about? I don't remember. Anyway, Hancock County got, what, $2.7 million for various projects. By the way, on Monday, when we get back from the extended weekend, we're going to talk with State Rep Ty Matthews about Hancock County's share of Ohio's capital budget, that $2.7 million, and $1.2 million of that for the Findlay Defense Incubator, which has been one of Ty Matthews' pet projects. So we'll talk more about that and what it is and so on. But one of the other line items in the capital budget that I thought was interesting, the historic Ohio Theater in Toledo getting $500,000 to help finish a major restoration project. Theater leaders say the work began after lightning damaged the building in 2008. There's about $5 million going to a couple dozen projects in Lucas County, but theater officials say construction could be finished in about 6 months. So that is good news. Because what a terrific building that is, the Ohio Theater in Toledo. So getting that money. So I just want to mention that. A couple of other items here. Among the first things you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. Now, this is big news. Jersey Mike's has dethroned Chick-fil-A as America's favorite fast food chain. That's right. The annual American Customer Satisfaction Index has been released, and Jersey Mike's edged Chick-fil-A by 1 point. They rank all of them based on the responses of these surveys. They rank all of the restaurant chains on a scale of 1 to 100, and Jersey Mike's edged out Chick-fil-A by 1 point, ending the chicken chain's dominant 11-year run at the top. So, kind of like Findlay lost the top micropolitan designation after 11 years, whatever it was. So, I don't know if those two things are related. The result. Oh, here it is. It says the results are based on 16,000 surveys that were sent out between April of last year and March of this year. Jersey Mike's scored 84 out of 100. Chick-fil-A at number two with 83 out of 100. Jimmy John's and Panda Express tied for third place. And then came KFC, Papa John's, and Pizza Hut. They were all tied next on the list. After that, Domino's, Raising Cane's, Starbucks, and Subway. Burger King, Culver's, Dunkin', Little Caesars, and Panera Bread landed in the next tier. And at the very bottom of the list, Dairy Queen and McDonald's tied for last place. Interesting. Dairy Queen and McDonald's. I don't know that I'm necessarily surprised by McDonald's being in last place, but I'm a bit surprised by Dairy Queen there. So anyway. The big news, Jersey Mike's, your number one fast food chain over even Chick-fil-A. That is impressive. Let's see. Oh, you know, one of the big stories in sports, the New York Knicks won the NBA title this past week. And I don't remember. I don't follow the NBA. It was a few days ago. Anyway, the point is they're having the big victory parade in New York today. The victory parade for the New York Knicks, their championship parade through the Canyon of Heroes in Lower Manhattan, is scheduled for today. But there is an issue because the state's Regents exam is also happening today. Now, the New York State Regents exams are standardized end-of-course tests required for high school graduation. And so students have to take these tests. They give them several times. This is the round of tests in June. I think they do some of them in May. They do actually some of them later in the summer, but they are scheduled. The June tests are scheduled for today. And state education officials say the science regents must go on for New York City public school students who are slated to take it. So even though they're having the Knicks championship parade, they are soldiering on with the regents exam. They note that New Yorkers are rightfully excited to celebrate the Knicks, but our students have been preparing all year for this moment as well. So can you imagine having to fight the crowds to get, hey, I got to get through. Let me through. I got to go take a test. I got to go take a test. Best of luck to all of those students. And I'm sure there aren't any of them who are disappointed having to miss the Knicks championship parade because they got to go take a test. Yeah, if for no other reason, give the kids a break. Let them enjoy the parade. And lastly, here among the first things that you need to know this morning, the most interesting and buzzworthy stories of the day. You remember back in April, Ohio got its first Buc-ee's location. It was it's just outside of Dayton. It was a huge grand opening, and already the company is planning a second location. You might have heard about this. The plan is to put a new Buc-ee's Travel Center off of I-71, right around the Mansfield area. However, it appears that not everyone is excited at the prospect of a second Buc-ee's in the Buckeye State. Over 1,800 residents of the Mansfield area have signed a petition opposing the development, citing concerns about traffic, safety, and the impact on local property values and farms. The Mansfield City Council has approved a development agreement with the company to build a 74,000 square foot location with 120 fueling stations off of I-71. But the people are pushing back. We'll see what comes of that. I can't believe that there are people who aren't excited for Buc-ee's. It's a shocker. There you go. some of the most interesting and buzzworthy stories to get your Thursday morning started.
WFIN News, I'm Matt Demchak. Your WTOL 11 weather. Partly sunny and windy today with a high in the 70s. Just a few clouds tonight, low in the 50s. Authorities in Defiance County say a toddler was killed in an accidental shooting last weekend.
Deputies responded to a home Saturday after receiving a call that a two-year-old had been shot. Authorities arrived on that scene and found a boy suffering from what they said was a critical gunshot wound. Emergency crews took the child to a hospital where he was pronounced dead. The sheriff's office said evidence at the scene indicates the shooting was accidental and that the shooting occurred when children in the home got their hands on an unsecured and loaded firearm. At the time of the shooting, adult family members were there on the property and are fully cooperating with investigators.
ONN's Jeff Hogan reporting. Get more on our website. Arlington Heart and Soul says the capital budget recently signed by the governor includes $255,000 earmarked for Arlington's Safety, Accessibility, and Connectivity Grant. They say the grant is an example of the heart and soul process in action, the result of listening to the community's voice, identifying what matters most, and connecting resources to move those ideas forward. Improvements that will be covered under the grant, paving of a walking path, connecting the current walking path with the school's new path, historic markers along the walking path, safety upgrades to bleachers, and fencing along the railroad tracks in the park. Get more on the grant in this story on our website. Marathon Center for the Performing Arts has announced its 2026-27 main stage and all ages seasons. Two lineups, it says, are built to fill the community with live performances from Broadway sensations to shows the whole family can enjoy. MCPA says the main stage series brings five productions to the stage, while the all ages series offers four shows built for families of every age. MCPA says main stage season tickets are available to MCPA members now, with sale to the public beginning on Friday. See the full list of shows and performances in this story on our website. Remember, you can always get more news anytime at WFIN.com.
Well, you know, at a time when social media often creates unrealistic expectations and sets unreachable standards for everyone, really, the pressure for fathers to appear perfect and emotionally unshakable, which has always been there in the minds of many men, becomes even more acute. And it raises the question of what does it really mean to be a good father, a good husband, and a good man in today's world? In honor of Father's Day coming up on Sunday, we are joined this morning by Christopher Parent. He is author of the new book, Fragments of a Decent Man. And Chris, I'm curious, where does the title come from there? Because it almost sounds kind of ominous.
Thank you, Chris. Thank you for having me. I took a while to write this book, and I had a number of titles that came and went. But I like the double entendre of the Fragments of a Decent Man. I wanted to get decency in the title because I think, you know, as you said in the great introduction, the book explores the lost art of decency. I am not the decent man, although I try to be a decent man, but we're imperfect. It's about the decent men that I've met along the way, and women as well, my wife and mother and daughters. But I think, you know, the fragments are that in the end, we're basically all imperfect. We're fragments, and we try to piece this thing together in this world and to be the best that we can to chase that decency.
Yeah. And these are, this is a series of essays rather than one long narrative. Does that mean that it's one of those books where you can kind of jump in pretty much anywhere whenever you need that little shot of confidence or reassurance rather than something that you need to read from cover to cover?
That's exactly right. Thank you so much. Yeah, that's exactly how I structured it. I'm an attorney by trade. That's my day job. And so I just started writing these essays about 10 years ago, and they started getting published and picked up. And when I started sharing them with other people, especially, you know, men, a similar age, I'm in my 50s. But when I was in my 40s too, people, you know, in talking about this vulnerability, people, it really resonated with them. And I also just think that with our attention span today, we're all very busy. chasing a livelihood. Sometimes it's hard to sit down and read a 600 page book. And so these are 18 vignettes, if you will. They're pretty easy to take on. You can pick up anywhere.
Yeah.
And they range, you know, lots of different subject areas, jobs, sports, relationships, etc. And they're, you know, they're meant to be written with humor and also just getting a message out there in each story.
Now, you use the word vulnerability, and that was the other thing. I mean, I mentioned that the title of the book sounds kind of ominous. It also projects that tone of vulnerability, as you were referring to. And you make the point that we men are sometimes our own worst enemy because we don't talk about these things, the insecurities, the doubts, the imperfections.
That's exactly right, and I'm the best test case. I mean, you know, I grew up in a household, and I had a very strong, great father. And I talked about my father. We had a good relationship. He was very guarded, and I just found myself a better person when I started sharing these stories. And I think, you know, you in your introduction, you talked about social media. We live in this world where we're just seen as trying to chase perfection. Mm-hmm. We're not perfect. And so I think as men, when we talk about our vulnerabilities, when we talk about our exposure to these things, I just think we become better. And this isn't a touchy feely book about how you have to share your feelings. And we, you know, I think the goal is to be authentic. Mm-hmm. We can be the best versions of ourselves and be masculine. That's not the goal, to change who we are. But I think just going through these ups and downs, I think, makes us better. And the way I compare it to is just a sports team. When you look at a coach for any the NFL or baseball or whatever sport, you know, they look at their opponents and they look at their weaknesses and then they try to fix them. And I think that's what we as men need to do, and not to guard ourselves and to shield ourselves from exposing our challenges and our vulnerabilities. But to look at, you know, those setbacks and say, okay, how did I learn from it? What was the adversity that I had? And how do I make myself a better person going forward? And I just think sharing those things, those essays with other people, saying the best man, my grandfather was an amazing man, an immigrant from the Ukraine, and he had some setbacks, but he just carried on and, you know, didn't complain much, but sharing our vulnerabilities really, yeah, I think, can set us on the right track.
You know, for so many of us, it goes back to kind of the way we were raised, to suppress emotion, to not show that vulnerability. And why is it that men are raised that way, do you think? I mean, again, in exploring all of these different aspects of it, do you come to any conclusion as to why it is that we feel that way? Is it something that's kind of ingrained in us from the beginning?
I think every household is different. Yeah, and that's my theory, is that I don't judge every household. I don't judge every person.
Yeah.
But I think that's right. I think you're spot on. I'm not also a social psychologist. I didn't do any studies of this. Mm-hmm. But I think it's inherent in who we are. It's just, we're ingrained. It's the masculine teacher. And it's not a bad thing. Again, I'm not judging anything or one way or the other. It's just we are guarded. We chase perfection, which is, by the way, a good thing. You want to be the best that you can.
Right. But it also can impact our relationships and the way we go about parenting our children.
Exactly. Yeah. And I try to do the best I can. I think do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, I've got strong relationships with my children and my wife, and I think again, you know, over time, as I've looked at and shared stories of other folks, you know, that admission, not admission of guilt, but just admission of saying, okay, you know, we're, again, these imperfections, and this chasing of authenticity, I think,
yeah,
really helps in strengthen those bonds that you have. Just being comfortable with who you are. And I think we're, you know, not to get down the two paths of society, but the social norms, I think we're kind of being told many different ways. You got to be this, or you be that, or mm-hmm. or, you know, and there's just very different viewpoints. And you know, we see it in politics, religion, and sports, and other things. I think that the authenticity is something that I think we really just need to be chasing. And again, that's what the the 18 vignettes are about.
Yeah.
You know, the authentic people that we met, and that I met along the way.
And there are so many of us, as we said, that struggle with that authenticity and letting that show. And again, as you mentioned, you are not a psychologist. You're not an expert in this field, but from your experience, especially in putting these essays out there and sharing them with others and hearing others' stories and that feedback, what sense do you get about how discussing these issues, and again, we'll talk about it in the context of parenting with Father's Day coming up, but bringing up these issues can sort of help offset the onslaught of comparisons that happens with social media, or that we even make in our own personal relationships when we're seeing other people and the way they parent and so on.
Yeah, I think it's such an important point. And I think, you know, one of the big ideas out there today is the third spaces. The, you know, you have your workspace and your home space, but where do people go to have that dialogue? Is it the bars or the coffee shops or churches or sporting events, wherever it is?
Mm-hmm.
I think the conversations that people have, I think are very critical. And I just think, you don't need to go to a psychiatrist, although obviously it's worthwhile for many people. But I think discussing those issues, what I have found in my own personal life, and also just discussing these books, that these essays have helped out tremendously. And you know, one of my essays, I talked about my daughter not getting into the college of her choice, and she has been a complete rock and has done wildly successful after that. But you know, on Facebook, for example, you see all these notes and posts about every their kid got into 13 colleges, and there's a little bit of envy. And my story, and was talking about how I got pretty ticked off, you know, and pretty upset and angry at the school that they didn't let her in. And I published that essay, and I have gotten so much positive feedback from people saying, thank you for writing this. You know, the courage to say, you know, you cross the line, you talk about something that everybody's feeling, because life isn't rosy out there and people get rejected.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if we were tougher years ago. It's going to be vulnerable now, but I think we're maybe a little bit tougher back then. You say, all right, we just move on. And you know, that's not perfect either. But, you know, sharing those stories, I also talked about getting fired from one of my first jobs as an attorney after 9/11, laid off. And I think also from playing sports and just picking yourself up and saying, you know, how you conquer the world is how you deal with adversity. I went to Notre Dame, and I think of Lou Holtz and his impact of how, you know, the success of the football team is not about the plays, is not about the players, but how the team deals with adversity. And I think that's a major theme in the book.
Yeah. Just about out of time, but I do want to make a point. You were talking about this earlier, just to underscore, this is not necessarily a real heavy, you know, thought provoking, certainly, but there's, you know, there's humor in that, and that can certainly help people let their guard down and, you know, think about these things maybe that they've not thought about before. But it really is a terrific book that folks want to put their hands on. I can't encourage folks enough to check this out. Again, the book is Fragments of a Decent Man. Christopher Parent is the author, and you have a website where folks can learn more about it, right?
I do. ChrisParent.net. .net. The book can also be found on Barnes & Noble, Amazon, and also bookshop.org. It's important to support local bookshops in Ohio and throughout the area. So bookshop.org, you can find the book there, and they'll order it for you.
Chris Parent, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day. Thank you. Thank you so much, Chris. Really appreciate it.
Well, this seems kind of like an appropriate topic to talk about since we're on the subject of Father's Day and families and all of that. There is an urgent call for more foster care and adoptive families locally, because keeping kids safe should be everyone's priority. And joining us this morning from Keeping Kids Safe Ohio is Judy Hutton. Judy, thanks very much for taking the time. First of all, we appreciate it. Talk a little bit about the need for foster care and adoptive family. Well, before we get to, you know, the need and you know, what's out there, where things kind of stand, talk a little bit about Keeping Kids Safe and what it is that you do.
Keeping Kids Safe is a nonprofit. It's a foster care and adoption agency located here in Findlay, Ohio. Mm-hmm. And we service Northwest Ohio. We recruit foster families, families that want to open their home and their heart to care for a child that's not able to remain in their own home until that family is able to have their child return to their home, or if that's not an option and that child needs to go up for adoption, then a family that's open to adopting that child.
Yeah. You work in conjunction with family services and that kind of thing?
Yeah, we are contracted with Hancock County Juvenile Court that we work with them.
Okay.
And we also work with children's service agencies. We can actually contract with all 88 counties in the state of Ohio.
I was going to say, because in talking with the folks at Children's Services, we've talked often that when there aren't enough foster families locally to place the children that are in their care, then they often have to go to other counties. And I would imagine other counties, it's the same way, and some of those will end up here.
Yes, we get a lot of children from a lot of different counties as well, because there is a huge shortage of families.
And that's really the at the heart of what we want to talk about, that we need more foster care families locally. So let's talk a little bit about that. How many families do you have in the Keeping Kids Safe umbrella? And how many do you need? I mean, how short are you?
I'm turning away children that are in need of a loving home almost every day. Mm. I have about 36 foster families with our agency, and that is not enough. And I think a lot of that depends. Every family is unique, and some family might want to work with the middle school age. Some families might be open to working with teenagers. Some families might only want young kids. Some families might be open to taking two. Some might want one. Some, you know, so every family gets to decide what's going to work best in their home. So we work with them on that. I don't want families to think that we're just forcing kids in their home, because we don't want to do that. We want you to be willing to, accept and take a child that's going to fit with your family.
That is such a good point, that you are able to, work with the agency to figure out what you're most comfortable with, where your strengths are in terms of the types of children they're taken in. What is involved in becoming a foster family?
So there's, it seems like a lot, but I have an amazing licensing specialist that we work great with getting families licensed, but there is training. So we do training to let you know what the rules are. We do training to help you understand the impact of the abuse and neglect that child might have endured. We work with you on discipline and behavior management to help them. We work on separation and attachment. So those are all training topics that we go over. We do background checks, BCI and FBI. We get a medical statement to show that you're able to care. There's nothing medically that's going to impact your ability to care for a child. Mm-hmm. We also do a fire inspection on your home to ensure it's safe. We do a safety audit, which is a state kind of checklist guideline to ensure those things are all safe for any child to be placed in your home. So we do those documents and references. Then there's the home study piece where we come out and we assess your home and we talk with you. So once you get through the trainings and those paperwork, then we can submit your license to the state and get you licensed.
So it is a pretty thorough process, understandably so. Obviously you want all of the ducks in a row, if you will. You want to make sure that everything is good when you're placing a child in a home. No question about that. But how often does it happen where people kind of get overwhelmed with all of that? It does take some patience to get through all of that.
I think most of the families do really well. I mean, families obviously think about it. They've talked about it. We meet with them. We always have an informational meeting to outline the process and explain that. And that if it's not for you, that's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, and most of the families have had discussions and they're usually ready to proceed, or they might need a little more time before they make that commitment, which is fine.
Yeah.
But usually we can get all of that done and get you licensed, I would say, within 2 months.
Okay. We mentioned adoptive families as well as foster care families. Again, it doesn't necessarily mean that everyone who comes to you has to be one, the other, or both. But it does happen where a foster child will turn into an adoptive child.
Absolutely. And we've had lots of our families that have adopted, they have fostered, they've fallen in love with the child. For whatever reason, that child was not able to be reunified with family. Mm-hmm. And so the foster family ends up adopting. Now they have their family kind of complete, or they're at their limit. And so they close out their license. And so that's also another need, because we have fulfilled a child and a family.
Yeah.
And that family has closed. So that also kind of continues that wheel of, we always need more families.
Yeah. Does it happen or can you accept if families want to adopt first? I mean, if that's their goal is to adopt, you know, do they come to you as well?
Absolutely. You can be licensed as foster. You can be licensed as foster to adopt.
Okay.
And you can be a licensed as straight adoption.
Okay. So if someone is interested in opening their home to a child in need, what do they need to do to start that process?
They can contact our agency. You can call us at 567-525-4520. And ask to speak to someone with regards to an interest in becoming a foster parent or adoptive parent. They can go to our website, which is keepingkidssafeohio.org. And there is an inquiry. They can fill out the inquiry and we will respond and reach back out to them. We also have an informational meeting, a no committal, no cost. Come and on August the 4th at 6 p.m. and ask all your questions and inquire about what the process is. What is this like? What does this mean? I'm pretty straightforward. And I give you the good and the bad.
Yeah. Because you want folks to come in with their eyes wide open on this. And by the way, one other thing to highlight here, this is not strictly for families, couples that have no children or have children or are a certain age or anything like that. Like you mentioned, you're going to ask all of those questions and evaluate all of those situations during the training and intake process. But you don't want anybody to say, oh, I can't be a foster family because I already have kids at home, or because I don't have kids, or because I'm too old, or you know, whatever it might happen to be.
Absolutely. You have to be at least 18 years of age. And you can live in an apartment. You can live in a house. You can rent.
Another
you
good
can
point. Own, yeah. You can
anything like that. And there's no age limit. You have to have an income to pay your bills. You have to meet the background clearance checks.
Right.
There is absolutely any age, that from 18 and older that can become foster to adopt family.
It is absolutely. It is a terrifically rewarding thing to do. And as we mentioned, there are an awful lot of kids who are in need of these good homes, foster homes and adoptive families. We will have a link on our webpage for more information. Again, Judy Hutton from Keeping Kids Safe Ohio with us this morning. Judy, thanks very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you very much.
This is Good Mornings with Chris Oakes on 1330 WFIN. WFIN.com and 95.5 FM.
We interrupt this program to bring you a broken news alert.
John Martino has become something of an internet celebrity for converting his unused bedroom closet into a fully functional miniature Blockbuster video store. Well, everyone should have a hobby, I guess. The project began when he discovered a bunch of old VHS tapes at a thrift shop for 99 cents each. And inspiration struck, apparently. The Blockbuster video closet features authentic Blockbuster yellow walls, blue carpeting, shelving, a quick drop return slot, a snack rack, and a light-up Blockbuster sign. The collection now contains approximately 250 VHS tapes. How big is this closet? I want to know. Total investment. He has invested now over $2,000, including construction and the collectibles and all of that. Now, I don't know where John Martino is from. I don't have a slug on that for a location. But honestly, if I had a Blockbuster video store in my closet, I'm not sure I'd want people to know where I lived either. So think about it. That is crazy. By the way, speaking of viral sensations, did you happen to see this? I saw this video a couple of days ago. A performance of William Shakespeare's famed tragedy, Romeo and Juliet, taking place in Turkey by the Imperial Russian Ballet Company, took an unexpected off-script turn when a cat wandered onto the stage. During the culminating scene, the death scene at the end of Romeo and Juliet, I don't mean to be a spoiler here, but you know the story of Romeo and Juliet. So at the culminating scene, the real serious scene, this cat wanders onto the stage and starts pawing and biting at Romeo's hair during the climactic scene of the star-crossed lover's demise. The crowd predictably erupted in applause and laughter, but kudos to the actors. The performers continued, soldiered right on through the scene as if the cat wasn't there at all. But after the performance was over, the cat was brought out on stage for its own curtain call. It's a funny video. If you haven't seen the video, look that up. It is really cute. And the rest of the broken news this morning, all from the international file, as it happens. In Toronto, Ontario, Zach Giacomelli, I think is how you pronounce it, contacted a local BMW dealership about buying back his 2021 vehicle. He wanted to sell his car, and he knew that the dealership would, buy back vehicles. So he contacted the dealership. He received a text from someone who identified themselves as Quinn at BMW Toronto. The two started talking after he got the text. He called and they started talking, and Mr. Giacomelli negotiated a buyback price of just over $27,000. And he said, "I felt this Quinn person was finally hearing me out." He said, "I was feeling pretty good." However, Zach then received a call from a dealership sales consultant who told him the offer was not valid. The offer that Quinn gave was not valid. Why? Because Quinn wasn't a real human being. It was actually an AI chatbot that had made the offer erroneously. I felt like he was finally hearing me out. It wasn't real. The real human authorized buyback price would be $7,000 less than what he had been offered. "I was shocked. I was devastated," Zach says. "If they're going to be replacing their employees' jobs with AI, then they need to be honoring what the AI says." I would have to agree. I mean, you're going to put people out of work, you're going to use the chatbot, you should stand by that. after a proper public shaming following news coverage of the story, BMW Toronto did agree to buy the car at the original AI proposed price. How crazy is that? That is insane. 7,000. Can you imagine getting that bonus? Sorry, we're not going to give you 27. We're going to give you 20. Knock that down. $7,000. Wow. Glad that story had a happy ending for the customer anyway. By the way, speaking of robots and artificial intelligence taking over, Hong Kong will debut its first round-the-clock convenience store operated entirely by an artificial intelligence robot. Apparently, this is coming soon. I don't know the exact opening date for this, but the store features a humanoid robot about 5'6" tall with a 6-foot arm span and a 7.5-foot reach capability to perform shelf stocking, product selection, and customer checkout operations while managing inventory automatically. The store will be staffed by the robot. Robot described as having visual and auditory perception, enabling intent understanding, voice interaction, and target recognition for real-world decision-making. Let's hope they're not authorizing the robot to buy cars, because we know that doesn't work. Anyway, the company projects the novelty factor alone could increase foot traffic at the store by 40%, and they plan to expand into 10 major international cities. They're not saying which ones, but it's only a matter of time. It's only a matter of time before we'd see them in this country. And, you know, they're going to be everywhere in less than the next generation. They're going to be everywhere. It's the way of the world, I guess. And finally, here in the broken news, also from the international file, Tommy Schmidt from Germany has earned a Guinness World Record by constructing the largest Lego brick sausage. It is Germany. A full sausage out of Lego bricks. 65,000 pieces in all. The 45-year-old collaborated with a local sausage company to build the tribute to his region's famous bratwurst specialty. Mr. Schmidt said, quote, "I have always enjoyed taking on unusual challenges." The project required 1 year to complete, including 6 months of actual construction time. Mr. Schmidt's finished creation measures 6.5 feet long, 6 feet, 6.7 inches to be exact, and features a bratwurst with a bun and mustard on the top. And it has been certified by Guinness officials. The massive model now sits on display at the company's headquarters, but transportation proved challenging. That's not where he built it. It's at the company's headquarters. That's not where he built it. Transportation was a challenge because of the structure's size and weight. It required multiple helpers and careful planning to ensure that it would fit through the doors. Because, you know, you don't want to go through all of that effort to make the world's largest Lego sausage. You wouldn't want it to fall apart. You're transporting it. Crazy stuff. There you go. That is today's broken news report. An update on the odd and unusual side of the headlines. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming.
Finley, get ready to rock for a cause. Join Flag City Honor Flight on Saturday, July 11th from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Finley Elks Lodge 75 for the Reunion Band Concert and Dance. Enjoy a fantastic evening of live music and dancing, all while supporting Flag City Honor Flight, a local organization helping veterans visit the memorials in Washington, D.C. that honor their service and sacrifice. Come out to 900 West Melrose Avenue. Let's show our veterans how much we appreciate them.
This message provided by WFIN.
And now your daily download, the numbers behind the news and the statistics that shape our lives. So here you go for Father's Day. If you are not a dad, but you do want to be one someday, better clean out your car. A new survey finds that 73% of dating Americans believe that car maintenance reflects personal care habits, and 67% view messy vehicles as indicators of disorganized lives. This is a research or a study from Talker Research, survey from Talker Research, 2,000 actively dating adults. In the survey, 65% associate clean cars with having your life put together. The top dating deal breakers, 41% say trash on the floors, 37% cite bad odors, another 37% said leftover food. Those are the biggest offenders. And one in four singles say they have ended dates early due to messy cars. And 50% judge potential partners based on vehicle upkeep. So, if you want to be a dad someday, clean out your car. Millennials actually prioritize car appearance more than Gen Zers, 40% versus 34%, and women are more likely to judge than men. In the survey, 42% say that they deep clean their cars before a first date. Well, this seems like a very appropriate topic to talk about in the Health and Medical File this morning with the World Cup happening right now. Did you know that one of the most common injuries in the game of soccer are ACL tears? Well, now an innovative treatment option is changing how ACL tears are being treated, the way they've been treated for decades, and helping to heal a torn ACL instead of replacing it. Well, joining us this morning are orthopedic surgeon Dr. Scott Sigmund and soccer coach Marcelo Cunha, who incidentally underwent the procedure himself, and we'll talk more about that in just a moment. But first of all, Dr. Sigmund, let me start with you. Why are ACL tears so common in the sport of soccer?
Well, it is all about the World Cup right now, that's for sure. So go Team USA. But what I like to say is that ACL injuries are really common in most sports, whether it's football, lacrosse, field hockey, skiing, or even soccer. The reason is that the knee joint is a hinged joint. It doesn't do very well with rotation. So in any sport where you're stopping or you're starting or you're pivoting, you're at risk for tearing your ACL.
And certainly there's a lot of that in this particular game. Are certain individuals more at risk? I mean, especially I can hear some parents hearing us talk about this and say, hey, you know, my kids are involved in soccer or whatever sport. As you mentioned, every sport has its risks. Are there some individuals who are more at risk than others?
Absolutely. The high-risk individuals are going to be our kids that are sort of in high school, as well as our collegiate athletes and our professional athletes that are ones that are really putting stress across that joint at the highest levels, especially, for example, on the pitch, as we see the stopping and the starting and the turning. So the highest risk are the ones that are really competing out there, pushing their bodies hard.
So talk a little bit about how this is traditionally treated and about this new way of, or this new treatment option. I understand it's called the Bear implant. So explain what that is and how it differs from traditional ACL surgery.
So most of us know someone that's undergone an ACL reconstruction. Traditionally, what we would do when you tear your ACL, we're going to remove the tissue. We're going to drill a couple of holes into your bone. We're going to take a piece of tissue from your hamstring or your patella or your quad tendon, and we're going to replace the ACL. We're going to reconstruct it. With the Bear implant, we're taking advantage of the human body's incredible ability to heal itself. And rather than removing the tissue, we're going to suture it. We're going to keep all of that ACL tissue there that has nerves and blood vessels. We're then going to take this novel collagen implant, kind of looks like a marshmallow, believe it or not. We stick it over top. We then draw blood from the patient in the operating room, put that in, which creates this incredible environment, which allows the human body to be able to heal the ACL rather than having to undergo a reconstruction.
Now, Marcelo, as we mentioned, you underwent this surgery yourself, or this treatment yourself. A couple of questions. First of all, why did you choose to go this route?
Yeah, as you mentioned, I tore my ACL, and I chose the Bear implant because of its
ability to heal it, help heal my own ACL. I didn't want a graft or a donor tissue, and it helped me get back out onto the sideline and coaching a lot faster. I was relatively pain-free the following day after surgery. Went and did PT that following day, and that the initial stages of early PT, I was flying through it, so I was able to get out there and coach and do what I love.
And how has your experience not only impacted your work with other athletes when they are facing similar injuries, similar choices?
Yeah, I think it's two facets of that. One, I've been able to help them through their own injuries because I've gone through it as well. And it's a mind game, right? So the psychological aspect of it, now I understand, and I'm able to kind of step in their shoes and fill the void of what they need to hear. And you know, and they have a role model of someone older that they look up to that has gone through the same thing. And so maybe it helps somebody along the way.
Now, Dr. Sigmund, are there certain patients that are where this would be a better option, where it would be more likely to be effective? I mean, who is this right for?
So the FDA has actually approved the Bear implant for the age of 2 and up. And so I've done them in 14-year-olds. I've done them in 65-year-old master tennis players as well. So it can be the true athlete, but it could also be the everyday person as well. Timing's not an issue. If you've torn that ACL, but you can't get surgery for another 6 months or so, you're still able to undergo the Bear implant. And there's really some great news in particular. We've been studying these patients now out to 6 years. So for those patients that are interested in long-term knee health, there is data now that shows that the patients that underwent a Bear implant have a 6-time reduction in the incidence of knee arthritis versus standard ACL reconstruction, which is truly profound in my 30-year experience.
That is interesting. And one of the things that Marcelo mentioned, he felt that the rehab took less time. Is that the case as well? I mean, clinically, is that the case?
So they jump out of the gate super fast because we're not removing all that tissue. We're not drilling big holes into the bone.
I see.
And so most of our patients, believe it or not, within 4 to 6 weeks, have full range of motion and movement. Marcelo actually just got tested. His leg that we operated on is stronger than the opposite side. I want to emphasize, though, return to sport is different than the ability to get around and move around. We want to make sure that all of our patients are psychologically and physically ready to return to sport. And that still is about 8 to 12 months. Whether you're getting the Bear implant or ACL reconstruction.
A very good point. But this is good news, not just for athletes, but really, Dr. Sigmund, as you were mentioning, this is something that can impact a lot of people for a lot of different reasons. So really exciting stuff there. Where do we get more information about this?
It's all about the World Cup and soccer now, so we're going to keep it simple. BearImplant.com/soccer. That's BearImplant.com/soccer.
All right, Dr. Scott Sigmund, orthopedic surgeon and soccer coach Marcelo Cunha, thank you very much for taking the time. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
And that will finish up our podcast for today. I want to thank all of our guests for joining us on the program this morning. Remember, you can get more information about all of the topics that we talk about each and every day on the show at our webpage. That is goodmornings.net. And if you're a regular listener to the podcast, we would appreciate it if you would take a moment or two to leave us a rating or review on your favorite podcasting platform. That will help others discover the show as well. A quick note, no podcast tomorrow, taking a little extra time off for an extended weekend. Coming up on Monday, State Representative Ty Matthews will join us to talk about Hancock County's $2.7 million share of Ohio's latest capital budget, including $1.2 million for the Findlay Defense Incubator. So until Monday morning, that is Good Mornings for this morning. Now that you've had a good morning, go on out and make it a good day, a great weekend. Happy Father's Day. We'll catch you back here next week.